April and May Sustainability Survival Tips from the Corn Queens, subtitled Waste Not, Want Not, Episode 17, Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast.
I'm Mayela Manassian, your host on the Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast. This is a podcast for busy people who want to save the planet by completing one simple eco challenge at a time. Let's do this. Please visit tinyclimate.com to access all episodes, show notes, freely subscribe, and contact us.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible,
Hi, everyone. This is Mayela Manassian, your host of Tiny Climate Challenge. And I am super excited because I am reunited and it feels so good with my bestie, my corn queen. We ride or die through everything. April Powers.
I'm back. And do you know why I'm back? Because we're quarantined together. We thought it was going to be a short visit, and then the doors closed, Mexico closed, and it closed us on an adventure together, and I'm so excited because it was the best of all possible outcomes for me.
And me too.
Do you want to say what your previous living situation was, or you don't want to talk about it, or like...
Mexico?
Just what your quarantine options were and getting back. And
So I own a home in San Diego, but it's currently being rented out. So that was not an option for me. And I have family and friends, and I considered going and visiting with my daughter, but she didn't want me.
In her one bedroom.
She said she didn't want to get quarantined with her mom for the next 3 months. She has no idea how much fun I am.
And what an asset. OMG. It was such a nice balance having you here.
Anyhow, I'm delighted to be here with you guys. Thank you so much.
It's been a joy. We have two school-age boys who love her. They call her Thea Maymay. And we have just, you know, she takes them on bike rides and
I'm their PE teacher.
PE teacher. She's done crafts with them and cooking and making cookies. And she cooks a meal or two every day and just... It's the yin to my yang and so much zen in this house. Like, I honestly, when you leave in 2 weeks to reunite with your now quarantining husband.
Yes.
He's coming up from Mexico and he's going to have to quarantine for 15 days or so. I think rumor has it they've extended that time to 17 days. So I'm crossing my fingers, but I don't know if that rumor will hit here. I don't know what we're going to do because... It's like we've disinfected so many deliveries together. And can I say what happened today with the delivery?
Yes, please. Yeah.
I am Instacart and anybody else doing this crazy price gouging. I am so, so disappointed in you. We are having delivery because of someone who's immunocompromised in my family and not... Because we're lazy or, you know, think that we're above anybody. It's just, this is what we have to do. We've, you know, had price compressions in our income, the whole thing. We're the COVID family and we're operating on our resources. And we discovered a 58% markup on our meat today. And the only reason we discovered it was because the meat had a price tag. And we don't know if this is a surge. I saw watermelon for $170.
I thought that was a joke.
It's not $170. $107 for watermelon. $5 a pound for an 18-pound watermelon. I've never, ever in my life seen that. And, you know, we're paying it because we really have to self-isolate for the health of our families, whether they're older or younger or... You know, whatever the reason is, we're in the middle of a depression and there are companies that are price gouging. And we were told even today, oh, well, if you don't like the bottom line, you know, you can always adjust your tip. And we felt like, well, no, the tip is the part that we're happy to pay. But 58% on our meat, not so much. And so I just had to say that just as a community alert, please. And we also didn't get things that we ordered, and I don't know how we're going to get that money back or credited. I haven't seen that yet. but I just feel like I need to say something for the world at large.
No, I think it's great that you mentioned that, and it actually is a great segue into what we want to talk about today,
Yes. Which
is how to be sustainable while you're in quarantine.
We rocked it. Going back to my last podcast where I was disappointed with myself, I have been reinvigorated and inspired by my grandmother's words, Grandma Sarah, waste not, want not. Those are some depression era words, folks, and we are in a depression. And is a depression defined by when you only buy food? Is that how it's defined? I think
we're in a depression because we've all been quarantined and we're not feeling our best every day.
I am trying to find the silver lining in the situation, and I think one of my silver lining shining moments around this, besides having you here, and I'm not even joking, we've like cried at the dinner table, practically just loving on each other, on how appreciative we are to have each other in this moment. Like, we're our oldest friends and dearest friends, and to be here and to have my kids get more of her and me to have more of her, and you guys get her on a podcast, but it's 20 times better in real life. One of the things I'm proud of and excited about is that my kids, I've always told them, don't run the water, don't leave the lights on, please don't waste, you know, these precious resources. And they're just, it's hard to understand it.
This is the moment.
This is like where it becomes real for them, mm-hmm. and where I can explain to them why and how the earth is responding. Like, there's this, they can feel it in their life experience that the earth is not happy. Something is very wrong. We cannot go outside and play. We can't touch things anymore. We can't touch others anymore. Grandma came and had to sit at a different table.
That was sad.
It was so sad.
I mean, it was great to
and
see
wear a
her,
mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was like she hadn't been, you know, quarantined long enough or whatever. And we're really super careful for her sake.
Right.
And for our sake. And we're teaching them that level of responsibility. So back to my rambling. I'm very proud of what you and I have been able to accomplish with regard to saving everything and teach my kids. I'm hyper disappointed in the packaging that I have been subjected to, and am much more aware of, even though I have all the reusables you could shake a stick at, I have everything. There is a lot of packaging that I'm unable to avoid.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the things that have been going well during this quarantine, and then let's talk about the things that we're not that thrilled with. Okay. And maybe we can talk through or work through some of the ways that we can be better.
Well, so throughout this time period, you've given us some really fun gifts. And so I want to walk us through some of the highlights through your gifts.
Okay.
And the first gift we're going to go start with is worms. We both have had worm bins. Myella had hers first. And so I would ask her every time she'd come up, can you bring me worms? Can you bring me worms? Can you bring me worms? Because I didn't want to ship worms and buy worms and do all that stuff. It wasn't that I was cheap, but I wanted to take some of her worms and not. And she would forget, and it was fine. So I finally ordered some worms, and in a heat wave in Southern California, they all started leaving. So I put them into my raised bin, and then
no, this is great. They escaped.
Well, some of them escaped, but a vast majority, you know, it's a lot of work, a worm bin, and apparently I have the wrong kind because I'm supposed to be getting guano or not guano. I'm supposed to be getting poop at the bottom, and that's not happening. So
it's not the wrong kind. It's just the bottom of your bin is open, so the worms can crawl out.
Yeah. So the worms. I'm excited. We've kind of reinvigorated my worm bin. Myella bought us some new worms, new red wigglers. We have a composting tin now on my kitchen sink to feed the worms. We've restarted. I've cleaned out my composter and we've gotten that going. That's exciting. Gift number two, wines. We've had birthdays. My husband and I both had birthdays. Mayela sent us some lovely package of wines from Mexico. I got some wines from Naked Wines, you know, just a variety of wines that were delivered. Their packaging actually was, I was impressed with the Naked Wine packaging because we were able to reuse it, a lot of it, in the worm bin because we seemed to feel like it was compostable.
Yeah, the cardboard packaging that the wines were placed inside of.
Right.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other boxes and things that have come from Amazon, you know, with that plastic, you know, bubble wrap stuff and, you know, things that we've had to throw away. We've had to use a lot of gloves and disinfectant and bleach. And I'm wondering what's happening with my own internal microbiome. I am now working out more. I'm eating healthier. I haven't lost a single pound or gained a pound. But I'm wondering, did I mess up something in my microbiome that I am not dropping some weight that I need to lose? Mayela, on the other hand, without all that masa and tortilla and what else are you eating? What were you eating in Mexico?
So much goodness.
So much goodness has dropped. Have you even weighed yourself?
No.
But she looks fabulous. She's looking hottie bum body. So I feel like we're throwing away all these latex gloves and, you know, really taking it all seriously. But I know that my biggest concern with all this hand washing and disinfecting and alcohol spraying and all the stuff that drives me a little batty each day is what's next? Like, what super bug are we creating today just in this, you and I, in this house, versus all the spraying that's going on in businesses and on the streets and things like that? Like, I don't know. We haven't had, I don't know. That really, really concerns me.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And
we're throwing away a lot of stuff. And the other thing, I feel like if I could give myself 5 stars, we are really using every single piece of the item that we're buying.
Like, yes.
If we got a radish, we're using the radish.
We did this last night for dinner.
Yeah, wait, what did you go ahead and say?
Well, so that's the other thing that we've been exploring while we've been quarantined together is we found a local community-supported agriculture, a farm.
Please support your local farms. And you think it's so expensive, and then you go on Instacart, or even Costco delivery costs more than Costco when you go into the store, and it ends up that the CSA was better priced than Instacart or some of these other delivery modules, and I'm so annoyed.
It's local, it's organic, you're supporting your community.
And it was the best produce. I am not exaggerating. My CSA box that Mayela bought for us was the best looking produce I've seen the entire quarantine. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, so let's talk about what was in it. There were 2 different types of lettuce.
One we're going to use tonight in our orange date salad.
I can't wait to try that.
From Plenty. Is it from Plenty? I think it's from Plenty or Plenty More.
Mm-hmm. The cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We had broccoli in there.
Yes, we steamed that. And we steamed the broccoli. And what we're doing to save, we're saving every last drop of water. So when we steam something, we're saving that water because it has nutrients. And we're using it as like a vegetable stock to make any other grain or any other thing that requires vegetable stock. So we're jarring that in the jars. We're not throwing away a single jar because we're using that to give, you know, we have sort of an exchange going on with some of my other friends that are growing food in their homes. So if somebody brings me lemons, I pickle them. Somebody brings me oranges, I made marmalade.
It's delicious. It's to die for.
Someone gave me peaches last year. I was too lazy. I froze them. Made some delicious peach jam, and freezing your peaches is another way to avoid blanching them.
By the way, I'm learning all these amazing recipes, and we will definitely put links to the cookbooks.
We can put links to the cookbooks, and you can also check out...
Or the recipes if we can find them for you online.
And I'm doing a lot of COVID cooking on aprilpowers.tv on my YouTube channel.
Her videos are so fun.
For Finicky Fiona, and some of the best... I've come up with some really good recipes using, like, healthy ingredients and repurposing.
Do you want to tell them about your new thing?
So, yeah, I have a new hashtag alert and a website name called Drops, hashtag Drops and Swaps. So, you know, we're eating, and one of the reasons I think you've lost weight is because you're not eating packaged foods either. But you're a really good fresh home cook. I mean, some of her stuff is amazing. I came in here eating these cookies she made today. But, you know, flour was gone. Everybody bought up flour, and we don't really use a lot in our house, and so we started buying spelt flour and einkorn flour and, you know, harder to, you know, just kind of quirky flours. And so I've recreated recipes using drops and swaps, dropping ingredients that aren't as healthy and swapping it for ingredients that are much healthier. And
it's so helpful right now because, you know, there are a lot of people who are missing many of these ingredients, and I just think that is so smart.
Yeah, and we made some of the best breads out of like einkorn flour, and we made some really good matzah out of spelt flour. It was just some really, really yummy, interesting things that I haven't had time to edit. So hopefully by the time this airs, some of the drops and swaps will be up there.
One of the things that I really love about you is how creative you are. She's just such a phenomenal cook, chef, and I'm more like I like to follow the recipe. And so this has been really fun and fascinating for me because I'm the type of person where like I'll read the recipe, and if I don't have something in that recipe, I won't make it. And so your drops and swaps, I know, it's like, it's horrible.
The reason this occurred. Okay. So the embarrassing part about drops and swaps, apart from the fact that I am allergic to everything and have to drop and swap everything, the other reason that drops and swaps has come to pass is because I rush. I'm a rusher, and I don't always read through the recipe. But if I have
a lot of things
all the time. I have learned what I can. You'll hear me like, Alexa, what's a good substitute for you know X? And then, you know, she'll come back with there is no substitute. No, I'm just kidding. But like, you know, you don't have parsley, so you'll use cilantro. Yeah. You don't have this, and so you use that.
But I never would have thought to use it. First of all, I never even knew what einkorn flour was until I came here. And I never would have thought
Much healthier.
Oh, yeah. No, it's amazing.
We are all becoming allergic to wheat because it's probably the Roundup that they're using in the wheat. And it's also GMO. And, you know, these crops are not what they used to be.
She made challah bread with it. It's the best challah I've ever had. Challah for your challah bread.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best challah I've ever had. And I'm not even kidding. We were all looking at each other like, what is happening here? Einkorn flour and vegan. No egg.
It was
so
amazing.
I'm going to get that up there one of these days. It was so good. Low impact gluten.
Okay, so this is what I love about our conversations is that they always take you like out to sea. So here I'm going to reel us back for a minute. We started this conversation because we were talking about our dinner last night, which was made out of one of the items that came in your recently purchased CSA box. Mm-hmm. And so those were the beets. And so we were talking about how we use every single part. Instead of, you know, if the recipe did not call for, you know, using the stalks or the greens, they would just go into my compost bin. But April's, you know, waste not, want not is in full effect here. And so I made a beet salad with oranges.
So good. Oh my gosh.
It was an orange beet salad. And
tell them what was in it because it was too good. What was in that?
Oh gosh, I don't even remember. We'll post the recipe, but it did make, we did make use of the beet greens. So we cut them off
and
of the stalks.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave the stalks to April, and April said, I'm going to find something to do with these stalks. So then you made a recipe with the stalks.
Even though it called for greens and stalks, I just had a little bit of greens and mostly stalks, and I just sauteed the greens with mustard, horseradish, and I don't even remember now. Mustard, horseradish, salt, pepper, something. It was so good.
It was
from the Joy of Cooking. So they had a beet greens thing out of the Joy of Cooking cookbook, and it was delicious.
So we had the option of two salads last night. Everyone
a sweet and a savory.
Yeah.
And the beets were, what did we put the beets in? You roasted the beets.
I roasted the beets first.
Was that for the salad?
For the salad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there were roasted beets on top of a bed of beet greens, and I mixed in some orange slices And I think the one thing we said that would have been good is to add some crunch to it. So maybe some roasted pistachios.
Or I was missing nuts.
Yeah, or you could do like roasted pecans or even pine nuts if you have those. You know, whatever nut you have.
And here is the icing on the cake of the let's use everything, waste not, want not portion of this talk, of this dinner last night. We saved every orange rind.
Oh, yes.
You also grated some of the orange rind into the salad, but the other orange rinds we boiled today. We saved them. We boiled some and we made another orange salad. Also, a friend of mine had an orange tree. And so I have an aphid problem on my citrus trees right now. So aphids do not like orange rind. And we're not really supposed to eat a lot of orange rind either because it's a bit of an incendiary inflammatory oil for oranges and grapefruits. Lemons and limes, you're fine. But so you put a couple of orange rinds around the base of the tree so it makes it hard for aphids to climb up. And then you boil the rinds for about 15 minutes and then let it cool all with the rinds in there. And then you remove the rinds. And fill a spray bottle with that water and you start spraying your trees, you have a natural aphid repellent. And these are the kinds of things we are doing all the time. The base of the celery, we're replanting and growing a new celery out of it.
Yeah, let's talk about your garden.
Oh, my garden. I'm so glad that my garden is... We installed.
This is the moment you've been prepping for.
Right? I mean, I feel so fortunate. I mean, we had really great rain, so my avocado may give us some avocados this year. It looks like we've got some flowers.
We've had some artichokes.
We have some artichokes happening. Every spice you can imagine.
Herbs, yeah.
Yeah, my community will not allow us to plant a lot of food in the front because of they're worried about rodents. But I encourage you, if you... live anywhere. I don't care where you live. Your city needs to have a community garden. You need to be able to grow food. If you have a little plot of land, a balcony, I don't care what you've got. Food insecurity could come for us all. Tyson just announced they're having a meat shortage because they have to close all the plants and massacre, millions of animals. This morning. And so if you think, oh yeah, the supermarket's still full, we can't depend on that anymore. So we have to go to our cities. I've already reached out to my mayor and council people to say, what policies can we put in place? What the trees that we're planting, why aren't we planting, drought tolerant, fire resistant herbs, things that people can eat and use and enjoy, that won't attract, a bunch of rodents, but will at least sustain us. And why aren't we encouraging? They called them victory gardens after the war. People needed to make and grow their own food. And that's one of the most powerful tools we have as human beings, is this ability to cultivate our land and to own it and to enjoy it. Even if you just have a window, you can grow so much food right inside of that window. If you have water and a seed and...
Yes.
I have, we're going to be making more planter beds. At first, I told my husband, I was like, it's going to aesthetically, I don't know if I want, I don't care how it looks. I do not care. All I care about is that when push comes to shove, I have enough food to feed my family no matter what happens. I have a girlfriend, her backyard is full of ducks and chickens and, she just lets whatever edible plant happens in her garden, it just grows wild. And her garden is one of my happy places. It makes me feel so free because she's so free about it, about just letting her garden just do whatever it does and letting nature take over. It's really an amazing thing to see. She just got 12 new chickens. I cannot have chickens in my particular HOA, which also, why not? We should be able to have our own food. We should be fighting for this. And I understand if somebody doesn't want to be awoken by a rooster, that's not okay. But to have maybe a couple chickens, I've never had chickens, so I might be speaking about something that
I've
of
had
which
them.
I, but you had a rooster too, but were the
yes.
chickens loud?
No, the chickens, we never heard from the chickens.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying anyway.
Yes.
Don't want to get into the animal rights thing. I'm vegan. I eat a little bit of fish and I don't eat eggs at all.
No, I'm in favor of people having their own chickens if they choose to. Where I'm living in Mexico, we have a botanical garden. And what people need to just know is that chickens can ruin your garden. And so our gardener was not a big fan of the chickens just because he was trying to keep the garden looking nice and the chickens were not helpful.
But the other thing that people do is they have them in a very wide run.
Yeah.
Where they're able to collect their poop and use the poop as like a fertilizer. And then they give them, you can feed them all of your leftovers. They'll eat a ton of, whatever your food trash is. If you're peeling things, all the peels, they'll eat a lot of that
stuff. Yeah, that whole compost situation with your worms, you could just be giving that to your chickens.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited. We have, what's growing there right now? Verbena. Apparently, I read somewhere once that your garden overflows with the things that you most need. So I had oregano growing like crazy. So I'm like, do I have, some kind of virus? Or, because oregano is so antiviral. And then all of a sudden, I just got a ton of lemon verbena, which we planted, but I certainly wasn't thinking I needed it. And apparently, it's the plant that makes Melissa an anti-anxiety tea. So I've just, I grab a couple of those leaves in the morning, and I don't have a lot of anxiety. I'm not an anxious person, and I don't have a lot of anxiety around COVID. But I do find myself not sleeping at night and not able to watch TV. I'm not able to watch movies. I don't feel like it's productive. I'm reading the news and I'm looking for stuff. And I'm waking up in the middle of the night checking Instacart to see if a time slot opened up. And, I definitely feel...
This is causing some anxieties. Yeah.
I mean, more anxious than I am as a non-anxious person.
Can we talk about the nasturtium in your garden?
We can. And so I don't remember how I got the nasturtium. I got a lot of things from my girlfriend who has that wild garden. Like, just, she'll give me seeds and I just throw them. And that's another thing. I'm a seed bomber. Like, I don't, if the universe gives me something with seeds in it, I'm just kind of like, we'll throw those seeds places hoping that it'll pop out. And so I have nasturtium growing all over my garden. It's wild. And nasturtium, you can eat the leaves. You can eat every part of the nasturtium. The leaves, stalk, the flowers. We do flowers especially for people's birthdays. So they get an edible flower. And then they make these beautiful seeds that I've made capers out of. You can eat the seeds when they're soft. And you can, if you Google, they're called California capers.
Wow.
So I think we had them some on the table the other day. You might not have known.
Were those fried capers?
No, those are regular capers.
Those are regular ones.
But we can try to fry these.
Okay.
We fried up some. What did we have these fried capers on?
I don't know. Probably some salad or something.
Yeah. Fried capers are the business. I need you to try fried capers.
Well, and the reason why I brought up the nasturtium is because it's another example about how
we had to rip up the nasturtium.
Because we...
A little bit. Like a small corner, because that's where we wanted to put the worms. Because it seemed like it had the most shade at the time. And then we didn't want to waste all that bounty. And Myella had shown me we have carrots growing too. So she took the carrot tops... And made a carrot top pesto with regular Parmesan, which I couldn't eat, but everybody loved. And then she said, why don't I make you a...
You the vegan version.
The vegan version with carrots. But then my girlfriend with the chickens posted that this nasturtium pesto that she found online amazing. And it was. So we used the nasturtium that we had to pull, the small little square that we had to pull for the worms, and we made nasturtium pesto with VioLife Parmesan cheese. That's VIO Life Parmesan cheese. And I didn't love the Parmesan on its own, but when you put it in the pesto, and all their other cheeses are great. Not like a nutrition bang, but it gives you those cheese feels. And if anybody knows anyone at Kite Hill, please ask them to bring back my truffle dill cheese. Not the truffle dill cream cheese, the truffle dill cheese. I need that back in my life. That was my favorite cheese ever, vegan cheese. And then I make my own cheeses. Miyoko has a wonderful recipe book for cheeses if you want to make your own nut cheeses.
I certainly do, because I got a macadamia nut tree back in Mexico.
Oh, I wish you could ship.
I know.
I'd be
macadamia
so
nuts
many.
Are not cheap either.
No, and they make the best nut cheeses.
And this tree just gives us a bounty year round. It's unbelievable. I mean, they fall on the ground and they're rotting. And I always tell people, like, come over, come get your macadamia nuts.
Maybe you just leave a basket outside your door. We're seeing in neighborhoods, like, people just leaving baskets of their bounty, which is so nice. But we have to have better ways of communicating that. We talked about this on episode 4. Crop Dots and some of these other apps, but we've got to get more than next door. We've got to get people, at least in the U.S., using these apps to let people know, hey, I have a lot of oranges on my tree. Why don't you take some? And or you can do what I do. It's like, okay, give me some. I'll keep some. I'll pickle them for you. I'll preserve them for you. Lemons and oranges and, you know, all these things, you can juice them. And we have made grapefruit ice. We've made lime ice. We've made
all on her YouTube channel, by the way.
Yeah, all on aprilpowers.tv. We've made lime juice with jalapenos, so you can make micheladas with that. And the grapefruit ice, you can, with a little bit of ouzo or arak, you can make a really delicious fun drink with a little elderflower as well. And it's just, there's just so many creative things that you can do if you get huge food deliveries like we have. That's been the other challenge, is we had tomatoes already, and then we got an extra order of tomatoes today because I forgot to cancel it. And we're just texting back and forth, like, what are we going to do with these tomatoes? Okay, we can make a tomato sauce. Okay, we can make a this. We can make a that.
A gazpacho.
I think gazpacho won until I wanted to make a watermelon tomato gazpacho.
Is that when you looked up the watermelon?
I think it was from Plenty or Plenty More by Ottolenghi. Ottolenghi's cookbooks are all amazing.
I love that cookbook.
And then I looked up the watermelon and I was like, oh yeah, $107 watermelon on Instacart. That's insanity.
Wow.
And
too much.
Too much. All the prices are going up on things. But
time to start growing some watermelons in your garden.
I just might. I mean, I've ordered plants already. I'm getting blueberries and I don't know when they're coming, but I've ordered a bunch more plants whenever my husband builds the extra raised beds because...
Well, that's exciting. You have so much goodness in your garden, and I'm just so grateful that you've been sharing your bounty and making these incredible meals and sharing them with all of us.
It's been like COVID. I have that, you know, I'm using the hashtag COVID cooking, like I'm sure everyone is, but... And I'm taking the time to really write down in all my cookbooks, like, what's going on. So it'll be like a treasure for my grandchildren. And, you know, I can imagine somebody 300 years from now, when we all make it through this, somebody will find this little treasure of my cookbooks and be like, oh my gosh, this is like real old fashioned. What happened, you know, during the plague of 2020, the roaring 20s. So yeah.
We were laughing because I posted a meme that said none of this was on my vision board for 2020.
No, it was not. But
we are making the most of it.
I will say, I have honestly, if I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to ask you all just to nod your head in silent agreement if you agree. I have asked the universe to stop spinning so many times. I've asked the world to stop. Like, can you just stop on the axis, freeze everybody? Let me take care of all the stuff that I need to take care of, all the stuff in my head, and then start going again, and then I'll catch up. And I'm trying to find the goodness. You know, some people don't want to hear about the goodness. They're, you know, horrible. We can go on and on about what the horrible things happening, the job loss, the
life,
sickness, the loss of life, the, you know, just the precarious situation that we've all been put in. But if I wallow there, then my children and family will suffer. So I'm elevating my thought bubble and making a conscious effort to do this. I take my sanity walk every morning before everyone wakes up, and I think about what I'm grateful for and where my thoughts have been. But one has just been, I asked for this. I actually asked for the world to stop for me to do this. I didn't say how I wanted it, and I'm not even implying that I controlled this situation. I'm just saying, you know, it's interesting how, you know, sometimes it happens through illness. which also happened to me. I had frozen shoulders and I had to like...
Well, that's funny that you should say that, not your frozen shoulder situation, but I actually asked for something like this too, because I had been living and working at a meditation center, and it had actually, I'm a new director there. And when you're in charge of a meditation center, you want to make sure that, you know, everyone who comes there is well taken care of. When you're practicing meditation, it's not fun and it's not easy. A lot of people think, well, like you're just sitting there and stuff. But no, there's a lot of stuff that comes up for people, even some trauma sometimes. And so it's really important that we create a safe space for people to come and practice and to be let down their guard and, you know, to be who they are and be okay with that. And so in any case, while I was, you know, running around taking care of everybody else, I was neglecting to take care of myself. And so I had a moment where I said, I need a break from this place. And it's true. And I said, I'm going to the U.S. And normally I don't take that long of a break away from my husband. Our separations are usually around 2 weeks. Although we have separated for a month. He's gone on a private retreat for a month before, or a group retreat. But anyway, I took a month off. And that was the first time, you know, that I'd ever done that. And we've been together for a long time. But sure enough, that month has now turned into, we're 2 months now here together.
By the end, it will be 2.5 months.
2.5 months together. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's kind of like you got to be careful what you ask for, because the universe does respond.
Mm-hmm.
And again, swiftly. This is not a situation that I would have wished for on anybody. But here we are, so...
I think we decided to do this podcast initially because I was so disgusted with the amount of waste with the packages. And then we decided to observe how we've managed through that over time. And it's a mountain of boxes. I mean, that we've been able to, I guess, get in some of it into recycling, most of it into recycling, but...
And it's not all April, by the way. You know, while I've been living here, I'm preparing to temporarily move into an unfurnished home for a couple of months, and I need some things while I'm down there. And actually, that brings me to another project that we started here, which was cleaning out your garage, your closets, and mm-hmm. your garage.
Yeah.
And you have no idea how happy I have been to receive these like really old sheets. I want this towel so bad. She smelled it yesterday. She's like, there is no way I'm giving you that towel that has a hideous odor. And I'm like, why? I'm like, I'll wash it. It'll be fine.
I told her it has to sit out in this before it's coming in back into my home. And because it was in that no thank you pile, she made me do a pile of things that I absolutely are not allowed back in my home. And so, and this wasn't even in my home. It was in the garage, like ready to go to donate to a pet shelter or something, along with dishes and things like that.
I am happy to take them off.
I was like, it has to be in the sun, disinfecting from whatever, you know, sports event sadness that it experienced.
She has two boys.
So
two very active young boys.
For some reason, it's in the garage today and it did not make its full day in the sun yet, but we're going to be disinfecting that bad boy.
So in any case, you know, I have had to order a couple of things, but I'm trying to get by with, you know, we're so grateful. We have such great friends that have been willing to donate all sorts of, you know, good things that were in their camping box. They're temporarily either loaning us or donating to us. But yeah, I mean, there's stuff that comes in and I'm not thrilled about that. And I definitely want to do a podcast on that in the future, because I have happened to know an expert who spent an entire year not purchasing anything new.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. It's scary.
Well, I've run out of beauty products, and I'm not saying beauty like makeup. I need to be moisturized. My hands have never looked older.
Yeah.
Like I'm just...
Because we're washing our hands all day.
Yeah, yeah, I still need moisture and lip balm, and I need to wash my hair and some of those other things. So I just ordered from... And I'll tell you, because it was so inexpensive. They were like $6.50 a thing. So I want everybody to... I don't know if it's any good.
Well, and that brings me to the podcast episode that I just released was all about DIY. and my challenge guest decided she's a cleaning professional. She's also happens to be my personal trainer, but she wanted to try making her own household cleaning products, and she did it was easy to do, and she did an amazing job, and she says they work. So I think we might have to try something.
Yeah, I maybe want her recipe. Did she give you the recipe? I heard the podcast, but I don't remember the recipe.
Yeah, there's links.
Okay, so I'll have to look at the links.
Yeah, but we should do like a DIY, maybe like a hand salve.
The calendula
recipe.
Yeah, because I have calendula growing wild in my garden.
Yes.
So the company is called Deciem, Deciem, and their brand, they have a bunch of different brands, but like, their brand is called The Ordinary, and they have like hyaluronic acid that's like $13, $6.70 for an oil and a moisturizer. Like everything was really, really well priced. And because I was running out of eye creams and things like that, and I thought, you know, in this time of great sacrifice that people are making, I am not trying to figure out what celebrity is using what. Like I need to have some austerity and some budgeting and who's, you know, so I can't say they're EWG certified, but I figured
that's the environmental working group, by the way,
but it looked decent enough and like I said, very well priced, and we'll see, maybe on the next podcast I'll let you know if I end up breaking out into a rash and hives. We'll delete this part.
I think you just came up with a new tiny climate challenge for yourself.
finding the drops and swaps for my expensive skincare regimen.
It's okay. We'll do it together. Because that brings me to another podcast that I can't wait to bring to everyone. And it's called Environmental Hell, because there's all things that we do that, despite, you know, as sustainable as we're trying to be or as we claim to be, or I mean, I personally have, you know, over 20 years experience in this field, but yet still find myself doing things that are not always that sustainable. And even here, like I'll give you a really quick example. When I'm in Mexico, my showers are 3 minutes or less. And the reason why is because the hot water runs out at about 3 minutes. And so I'm not a huge, although I know it's good for you, I'm not a huge fan of taking cold showers. But here, I've actually been taking, I'm like,
sorry. Confession comes
yes,
now.
I've been taking longer showers because you have hot water on demand and it just comes, you know, like.
And you also said you drank the water.
Oh my gosh.
That while you're showering, you allowed your mouth to open, which is something you hadn't
done. That was a first. Yeah, I hadn't done that in a long time. I was like, oh my gosh, I can actually drink the water. In Mexico, it's not safe to do that. So anyhow, I'm not saying everywhere in Mexico, but just where I live.
And by the way, I'm taking more cold showers because I know that gargling in the first thing in the morning, drinking hot water inside, you know, and taking cold showers boost your immune system. So I've done, and it's just getting warmer here, and so it's more pleasure. But even when it was really cold, I would alternate hot, cold showers.
I'm going to have to try that. But yeah, so anyhow, that's one of the things I know I'm going to go to environmental hell for. And it's, but the good thing is it's just to notice these things, you know, it's to be aware of, you know, the things that we do and then try to find ways to shift our habits. So, well, I know you've given yourself, you know, a hard time about the last episode, which I thought you did a tremendous job at. But can I just say one of the things that I'm really proud of you about since that episode is how much more inspired you've become to make a difference in your community. And she reached out to her elected officials not too long after that episode, and you got on board with helping them. Her city did not have a climate action plan. And
after the fires, I went in
and
spoke with them about what's our getting a climate action plan and explaining to them what it was and speaking to the mayor and having private conversations with different city council members. And we're getting a climate action plan, and I want this, you know, this community garden and the ability for people to grow their own food. I'm doing that. And my last, if you hear episode 4, the last thing that I was working on was not doing takeout food and using less plastic in general. And what I have done in this house during COVID has been to reuse every jar use my Ziploc bags twice. Every single jar, I don't even need glass Tupperware anymore. I realize because I'm reusing all these jars. I hope it's sanitary, but we run them through the dishwasher and we were recycling them. And I thought to myself, why are we recycling these? We should be using these for leftover food because I had run out of, you know, glass Tupperware. We were making things in bulk and freezing it and using it. And I am very, very pleased, even with some of the plastic. And then we re-gift and someone brings me their kumquats, loquats, whatever they've got. And then we repackage it and I give it back out in a pickle jar. The other thing that we're doing is we're reusing pickle juice. Anything that's pickled,
good.
Anything that's pickled or any leftover oils with herbs and flavoring, you can reuse that to flavor something else that will absorb it, like a turnip or a potato or a yam. So we are repurposing the juices that are left over in pickle jars. You can also...
I never in a million years would have thought to do this. And it's so delicious.
We had the pickled potato chips last night. And that's from the Zahav cookbook. They have a really good recipe in there about that. But you don't need a cookbook. You just thinly slice your potatoes and stick it in your pickle jar. Or you can use the pickle juice to brine your chicken. There's a ton of uses for reusing pickle juice, and I think we already talked about the steam water from our vegetables. Mm-hmm. And we're cutting off all, and this I've always done, but when you have leftover pieces of onion or leftover that part of the cauliflower you're not going to eat, or we're eating a lot more of the vegetables as we mentioned than we usually do, but the parts that we aren't using, we're saving in a Ziploc bag, keeping it in the freezer. And then when we need to make, if we need to make a vegetable stock, we've already got those vegetables there.
And not only that, I use some of those vegetables too, actually, to make a chicken stock because we had the chicken carcass.
We reused that chicken carcass from the roast chicken.
And it called for adding some vegetables to it to make the chicken stock. And so I used it for that as well.
Yeah. That was, and we are no joke. We could be a show.
We are a show.
We're a show.
We're the April May show.
Hey, the COVID times. Good times, good times.
So, yeah, I think, you know, you need to give yourself more credit. Doing a phenomenal job over here. And I'm really glad that we could have this discussion and share this with our listeners today. And I hope that it, you know, helps, if anything, to brighten your day. And yes,
I want to say one thing that really helped me not feel horrible about myself at this time. And I don't know when you're going to be listening to this, if we're still in the middle of shutdown or even after, but what I don't want this podcast to be for you is another thing that you have to do or feel bad or feel guilty about. And I heard some psychologists say, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, if you're not out there going and feeding the homeless right now and, you know, sending people, you know, and sending food baskets to people, and you're not shopping for the elderly and you're not doing anything, that's okay. All you have to do right now is stay inside and not infect anybody and not get infected. The only thing that's required of you right now is to stay where you are and to follow the guidelines that we're being given. And if that's all you're doing the best thing that you can, and you're amazing for that. And because I had a big guilt blanket on top of myself because I was managing kids at school and work and cooking, like everything just takes so long. And I'm like, and there are all these people out there doing these amazing things for the planet. And I just had to sit back and just go, I can only do for the planet what I can do from in here right now. And so I just wanted to put that out there. If you're staying home and that's all you can do, and I know a bunch of people that's all they can do right now, I have a lot of friends that is it, then thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for keeping us all safe, and I appreciate you.
I think that's a great way to wrap this up, and thank you for allowing me to stay inside with you.
Oh my gosh, it's been such a gift. Such a gift. You all have no idea the meals that we've had. And just the quality time, you know?
It's been incredible. And I'm so appreciative and grateful for you and everything, all the joys and everything that you bring to my life. So
Thank you. Love you.
I love you, Mama.
COVID has.
Okay.
Bye, everybody. Stay safe.
Stay safe. Stay happy. Stay sane. Stay healthy. Take care.
If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts, or find me at tinyclimate.com. Remember that small changes can lead to big results in ensuring a tiny climate. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible.